You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show. My name is Dennis Scherfin, and I'm here to help you create freedom in your time, money, and work through long-term growth and the power of YouTube. So today we are talking about the equipment.
Software.
Essentials.
For beginning
YouTubers. That was the sloppiest title read that we've ever done, but I love that we did it because that's also
how this feels.
How it feels, right? Like, we're always learning and growing and trying things out, and especially on YouTube.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and creating freedom in your time, money, and work with the power of YouTube. And now your host, Dennis Scherfin.
On today's episode, we're actually going to be talking about equipment and software essentials for beginner YouTubers. I know that sounds like a whole lot of fun, but it's essential.
We're going to be talking about some stuff, but I know some people are going to be a little weary with like the amount of things that they can be doing and like going into. So we're going to be giving some really good basics. And I think there's always, and we talk about this all the time, the Kaizen.
Yeah.
Right? It's a Japanese word meaning essentially one step at a time or one improvement at a time will lead us to some great success. And, you know, especially when we talk about passive income that we want to create on YouTube, it's all about building roots so we can bear our fruits.
Yeah. And why not talk about the equipment and or software that could help streamline that process?
Oh, yeah. There are so many different ways you can like really put in effort in different areas to help you grow. And, you know, we'll talk about each one and like the importance of them as well, too. And we will obviously do you a service and have the links available to you in the episode, as well as in our ebook. Yes. We kind of actually have a segment where we have a link to the Amazon page that shows you some of the different products, not all, but just some of the different ones that you can utilize as well, too.
Yeah.
No, before we get into the episode.
Yes. This is the favorite. This is the best part.
This is the
only reason why I'm in this podcast.
It's for this section.
We get a segment.
That would be wild if that was the only reason. No, we love what we're doing here and what we're creating and helping you create something amazing for the long-term future of YouTube and passive income.
Yeah. And truthfully, this is part of our passion, right? Which leads right into, so FIRE is someone who's fervent, inspiring, and radiating energy.
Yeah.
So Dennis, this week, who was that for you?
Okay. So I love finding people that have like just this like passion for what they're doing. And there's this guy, maybe you've heard of him. He's, I think it's like Doug Tolle. So he does this thing where he makes pizzas at Papa John's.
I know exactly. And he's a younger
like,
guy, right?
Yeah, he's a really young guy. He's like probably like late teens, early 20s. And I'm like smiling here because he's freaking like throwing dough like towards the camera and like
at his job.
And he's like talking about like real things and like actually kind of like some of it's motivating and some of it's just like him doing the work on himself and like essentially inspire himself. And what's really unique is that he talks about how one, he loves making pizza and how like making pizza is a big passion of his. Now, does he want to do it forever? He's actually even said, you know, he doesn't know the future, but he knows what he loves right now.
Yeah, which is great.
And what was so fascinating is that he was doing it and he blew up pretty quickly. But I think long term, what I see really for him is that like he is really like being authentic to himself and like what he loves.
Yeah.
That even Papa John's, the company that he worked for, hired him for an ad.
Wow.
Hired him for an ad.
I don't think I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's really cool because he's showing up in his passion and you could just see it. Like when he's sitting there and throwing the dough around, like he's very talented. Like he does like all the swirling stuff with like the pizza dough, like you see in the movies.
Yeah.
So he does that kind of stuff. And he even like puts it under his leg, not like, you know, like where it falls on the floor, cause he's clearly skilled at it, but like he's tossing the dough everywhere and really good at what he's doing. And he's passionate and he's sharing that with the world. And I think he's giving other people permission to see something that maybe others might deem less than, right? Like being a pizza guy, but like he sees that as, hey, in this part of his life, like he's really good at what he's doing. Well, and that's amazing.
Well, that and they say, right, the old quote is do the work you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Yeah. Like that's it, right? Find the people that are passionate about their work and they will always be willing to do it.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's interesting because like doing these podcast episodes about, you know, doing YouTube is work, but I'm like, I'm just so excited about doing this stuff all the time. Like this is thrilling.
Oh yeah.
Like sharing with people and like hearing what they're doing and, you know, building up and like creating things. Like I've had people in my life who have taken some information from me and had like implemented it in their YouTube channels and have seen some great success, and it brings me so much joy.
Yeah.
Like I'm so excited to hear how people are like changing their lives because of a platform that's allowing them to do it. Like it's a beautiful thing.
That, and truthfully, I love seeing people succeed even if I don't get anything in return, because it's like, wow, like now you get to go do the things you love. And it opens other opportunities for you. And I think that's great. And truthfully, I actually have a question that, because I don't even think I asked you this. How did you even, like, obviously, I know you and I talked about the whole fire segment, right? But where did it start? Like, who was the first person you saw that was like, wow, that's cool?
That's a very interesting question. I think what started my idea to do this segment was actually from a lady who, there was a couple different people, but I think the one that really stuck out to me was, and I think we talked about her already, was a lady who started off on, it wasn't necessarily YouTube, it was just in general, like on social media, talking about her favorite color of Quran.
Yep.
And it was like the color dandelion or something like that. And it got discontinued. And I was just so fascinated that this woman had such a specific thing that she loved and was willing to share it with the world. Obviously, she got some haters because that's how it works sometimes. Yeah. And like the amount of love that she got from everybody else. And like, even though I'm not like passionate about a color, I love seeing that passion in people. And so then I got really drawn into the idea of, hey, when we start this podcast, what does it look like to share about these people? Because I've already had that belief for such a long time now that you can talk about anything and make a living doing it. Would it be something where you're making millions? Maybe not. Maybe yes. But also, like, what does it look like to do what you love? And, you know, depending on like the income sources that you can make from it, either have a really good living or have an amazing living, but like still doing it. Like, I would rather make less money and be happy with what I'm doing. I'm just in the lucky space that I'm making good money and doing what I love.
Yeah.
But I also am willing to take less money if I get to do what I want and have my freedom and my time, money, and work.
Yeah, no, and I think that's great, because I know we've talked about, like, now you try to find these people that have created content or have blown up because they're doing the passionate things.
Real quick, I do want to specify, because I know I said it too, when I said blow up, I actually do typically mean like people became aware of them, not necessarily blow up, because we always look at long-term growth. She was doing it for long enough where she didn't necessarily care to get the attention, and then it just kind of all happened at once.
Yeah.
But there was like that whole, like the old saying was like, overnight success takes 20 years.
Yeah.
Not so much today in this world. It can still take time and then have that success. So it's not necessarily the blow up. And it's not on you. It was also on me too. Like I think I said that in the past too, where I'm like, they blew up. No, it's they people became aware of them after having done what they're doing long enough.
Correct. Yeah. No, great transition. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for sticking through that segment. Are you actually ready to start the show?
Let's go. Let's do it.
All right.
Look at us at the same time.
Okay.
So today we are talking about the equipment.
Software.
Essentials.
For beginning
YouTubers. That was the sloppiest title read that we've ever done, but I love that we did it, because that's also truthfully
how this feels.
How it feels, right? Like, we're always learning and growing and trying things out, and especially on YouTube. You know, I shared in our original episode how when I got started, I didn't know what I was doing and fumbled a lot, and I still fumble from time to time. And
yeah,
I love that one of us reads the title and it always seems like it flows really well, but that was the first time we kind of like stumbled on it. But like, we're gonna leave it, so our editor won't cut that out, because we believe that like we get to showcase that we're human beings, we make mistakes and we run through it. And it wasn't as bad as like we said the wrong title that we had to like replace it.
Like your very first YouTube
video. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. I love that. That's actually my favorite thing to talk about with people when they're like, well, I'm nervous and like, I don't know. And I'm like, don't worry about it. I said the name of my channel wrong in my very first episode on my YouTube channel. Like, you're good.
Yeah.
You're fine. No one's going to care. What they care about is the value that you're adding in there. So all that to say, let's talk about the essentials, especially with the equipment.
Okay.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about like the generic topics around these, but what I really want to emphasize, and this is probably the most important part of this whole episode, is the level of importance when getting equipment. There is a level of importance.
Yeah.
And, you know, many people might believe certain things, but when I've been in YouTube long enough and I've seen it happen time and time again, I've made these mistakes and other people I've known made these mistakes.
Yep.
When it comes to video, the most important aspect is audio.
You're telling me having a YouTube channel, the most important thing is audio and not video quality?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
People can deal with terrible visuals so long as the audio is decent.
That's
because
true.
There's something about choppy audio or audio that just is not coming in clear. It's hard to hear. It's like piercing in their ears that people cannot stand. Like you can have 4K high quality, high definition video. And if your audio is like really choppy or breaking up or just again, that piercing, people are going to leave your videos.
Yeah. Like
they're gone.
Two people trying to read the title at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. not to that extent, man, but it's still there. It's really important. So, and we're going to break down audio more here. So the next thing that's going to be in the level of importance is going to be lights.
Okay.
So think about this. The second most important thing is still not the actual video camera.
Correct.
So we're at lights. Now, why is lights higher than the actual camera? It's because the visuals actually come from the quality of lighting that you have around you, and being able to be lit up can actually make a okay camera look really, really good. And it can make a great camera look that much better. And it can make a terrible camera look even somewhat decent.
Yeah.
Like it takes everything a level up, and we'll break that down a little bit more here in the segment talking a lot more about the lights, but yeah.
And I love that in our last Academy, I got to show proof of that, right?
Yeah.
I actually had a light that I've had sitting at my desk this whole time, but I never used it because I didn't even think about it truly. And one day I was like, oh, let me, because Dennis and I have talked about that. I was like, let me turn it on. And it was funny to see your reaction when I turned it on.
It's like game change. And we're just on like a coaching call, and you just turn it on and it looks like 10 times better.
Yeah.
And you're doing it through a laptop video camera. So
correct.
It takes it from terrible to good.
Yeah.
Just from the lighting as well. And then third, finally comes a camera.
Yep.
Finally. Now, as far as camera, and again, we'll break this down a little bit more, but the best thing to always do is like with what you got,
yeah,
and get started. And especially nowadays, like camera phones, qualities.
Oh, yeah.
Top notch. Number four is going to be tripods. Having your camera leveled consistently, especially if you keep it in a similar spot, like tripods are going to be great. And then the fifth level importance is kind of like more like an honorable mention would be any unique needs. So like gimbals, if you're a travel vlogger of okay. sorts, or if you have like over the top angles that you want to add to your camera or to your view. So if you're doing like unboxings or just anything where you need to look from the top
different
up,
type of
those equipment would just be additions to it, right? Like I think especially if you're just getting started, the first three are going to be critical, right?
Yeah.
Audio, lights, camera, and then it'd be tripods, and then it would be any unique needs that would be more for your specific.
Yeah, and that makes sense with starting a YouTube channel. Those are almost all three things, the first three things everybody needs, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, as we continue on this, one of my favorite things, and we were kind of talking about this, is like in my first video, not only did I make the mistake of saying the name of my channel wrong, my audio was terrible. And I really wish I could be on this podcast and tell you that that was only the case with the first episode, but that was the case for a long time.
Yeah.
The audio was bad for longer than it needed to be. And that was on me for not putting in the work to focus on that early on or even pay attention to it.
Yeah.
So that's great that you're listening to this episode. And whether you're about to get started or have already been doing YouTube, like look at your audio and see where you're at. Because yeah, the first quite a few episodes, you can hear the camera humming because I got audio from the camera. Like that hurts my brain now to think about that. I was taking the audio from the camera, and this was back in 2017, and my camera was like a 2014 camera. So it was like, it was pretty bad as far as audio. And then there was also the whole process of once I got the audio, like how did I actually manage it to like edit it properly? Cause I did all my own edits.
Yeah.
And so like what that looked like as well too. And those were, again, stepping stones to get better and better. And nowadays our audio is much better. We understand it. I'm not a pro at audio by no stretch of the imagination. I don't even want to pretend like I know all the different, you know, hertz and decibels and all the things that come with audio.
Yeah.
But I know enough to at least be proficient and know that I'm constantly doing the Kaizen method, which I'm improving all the time.
Which is great. But I do want to bring up, because again, like you mentioned, it wasn't your first video that you're like, that video quality is, or audio quality is terrible or whatever it is. It took a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And because I know we talked about this, and I believe it was episode 4, as far as community engagement, right? If I remember the story correctly, somebody left a comment about your quality. Is that correct? Yeah.
They did, actually. I'm glad that you remember that too. So I had a comment. Well, I'd get comments from time to time, and I think people would generally see this as like an attack on the person, or yeah, like giving them a hard time, where I looked at it as like a, why are they saying this and what can I do to make it better? And so the comment was something along the lines of like, hey, you need to improve your audio.
Yeah.
And they did kind of say it in a way that was truthfully just, hey, I like the value you're giving in your content. I just think the way it's being given could be improved to make it easier for everybody to hear you. And so I took that lesson, learned from it, watched some video tutorials on YouTube on how to do it. And funny enough, that person commented on a future video saying, yes, this is so much better.
That just gave me the chills.
It was,
I didn't know that part.
Yeah. They came back and like commented, because I did say thank you. Hey, I'm going to keep learning. I think I even asked them in that original post, like asking them like, hey, what do you recommend or something like that? And they told me to look at compressing or something like that at the time. And so then I watched YouTube videos on how to compress my audio properly, because essentially what was happening was my audio was spiking really high on my highs and then really low, like going really low on my lows. So like it was really like sporadic. So like if you had your audio on a certain level, it would all of a sudden sound really loud or sound like super quiet without adjusting anything. So it leveled out a lot better.
Okay.
And so it just overall sounded so much cleaner and it was nice and they complimented me for it. But it was really just me saying, hey, I actually do care, because my intent is to bring value and I want to bring it with the least amount of friction, which is dealing with audio, dealing with the visuals, dealing with anything else that comes with it.
Yeah. And I love being able to take it back of like, that's also why, I know we're not going to talk about it in this episode, but that's also why community engagement's important.
Yeah.
Right. And also not just dismissing the comments and overlooking them. And sometimes it can be hurtful, right? But take it at an analytic standpoint, right? Because your audience, for the people that actually want to listen to your channel and your niche, they're going to give you feedback, the information or the answers you need to help continue.
I'm the one that's making it something more than it probably was, right? If I see that and I'm like they don't know the hard work that goes into it. Like, sure, maybe not, but they also know what they would want in a piece of content, which is audio they can deal with. Now, and this applies to the audio, the lights, the camera, the software that we'll talk about as well too, is it move up over time.
Yeah.
I think it's really critical that when you're getting started, you know, in the last episode, we talked about making money right off the bat. And so being able to have some of that money to then invest in yourself as well.
Yeah.
I would always tell people, get started with what you have. The only exception would be upgrade your audio first.
Yeah.
If you're going to do anything, and then, you know, keep improving over time. Like I love when people like say something along the lines of, wow, Dennis, your video quality is so amazing. Like, I don't know if I could do anything like that. And I'm like, I got you, boo. And what I'll do is I'll show them my very first video. And they're like, whoa.
That's where you started.
And then I tell them, I'm like, look, it's day and night. But there was a transition period between them. It didn't just go from day to night all of a sudden in my quality. It was over the years I was improving. Right? It's not like episode, like video 1 and video 20 were that day and night difference. It was hundreds of videos
slowly later. Slowly getting the different type of equipment to help get you there.
Understanding things, learning about the lighting, learning about the audio, learning about the video, learning about like angles, learning about all of these different things that over time led me to where I got to now as far as quality. So it is really important. So when we go through this, just really keep in mind, like, start with where you're at, but then have the intention to continue to improve over time.
Correct.
So now when we talk about the different items here, right? So like the level of importance, we're going to talk about audio first.
Yeah.
And even though with everything else, I'm going to tell you, get started with what you have. The audio one is probably the only exception because of how important it is, right? Yeah. And so if we want to talk about budget friendly, I'm not going to have like actual products I would tell people necessarily, although in our ebook, there is a YouTube setup link that will show you some of the products. But the reason I don't really say names is because most of them are generally going to do the same thing for you. So it doesn't really matter which brand you go with, so long as you kind of pay attention to the price ranges, because you're going to get certain value from different ones.
Yeah.
There's a thing called diminishing returns, which means that the higher it costs doesn't always equate to the more quality you're going to get. At some point, that difference is so wide that it might not be worth it.
Correct.
And a great example would be a decent piece of audio to upgrade first and foremost can cost you as little as around $20.
Yeah.
And the improvement that you get with just that $20 is astronomical.
Significant.
So we've kind of like looked at it with our old, like the old videos and what we do now. Like, you can tell the quality difference. Just that $20 or so, those are usually what they call lapel mics. They'll go like on your shirt. doesn't matter if it's in the shot. Like, most of the time it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, if it is in the shot and you can't get, like, you can't hide it behind a shirt because it makes ruffle noises or whatever, just be okay with that. Like, you get to continue to improve, and eventually you'll have a mic that's not in the shot if that's what you want.
Correct.
And that'll get you moving along pretty quickly. Now, as far as what kind of lapel mic can depend on the kind of camera equipment you use or how you're going to be recording. So if you're on a phone, right, like doing a lapel mic that connects to your phone is pretty easy. Some of them can connect directly to your camera, and others connect directly to your computer or a device that captures that recording.
Yeah.
So it just really depends on the way you go. But if you're kind of going the more basic route, whatever end you're connecting it to, just make sure those two things connect together properly. And Amazon has a ton of them, again, for around $20.
What about a middle of the road?
Yes. So then there's like a middle of the road, which is actually, funny enough, one of the ways I still use for my main channel, which is really funny. So I use a table microphone. They're typically around $100 to $150. You hear a lot of people talk about what they call Blue Yeti mics. I have one called HyperX. Again, the brand's not as important in these spaces, just because it's more of the price point typically will yield very similar results.
Yeah.
Obviously, for a lot of people, it's really just kind of getting a clear understanding of, like, what is it that you want? Like, do you want a mic that needs to be really close to you? Do you need a mic that can be off screen and still capture good audio?
Yeah.
You know, are you moving around with it? Like, there's all these questions that you can ask, but that's why there's that range of $100 to $150. I think the microphone I still use today, the HyperX one, which is on our YouTube setup page, that one I think was, when I bought it, $110, $120.
Yeah.
And I still use it and it's good. It's not as great as the mic we're currently using for the podcast, which is going to be the pro level.
Yeah.
Which you're talking about, like, $400+ per microphone, and then all the other things that come with
that. Yeah.
And, like, even if, I don't want to say even if you have the money to go for that, but I'm like, man, even if you have the money off the bat to invest with, sometimes I would still say the middle of the road might be that better return on your investment than getting the highest quality without any proof of concept yet.
Yeah.
So just kind of like that way to go with audio. And this is going to be the same thing with some of these other sections as well, where there's like a budget friendly, there's a middle of the road, and like there's the pro levels as well.
Well, that and it goes back into like it work with what you got, right? And now if you have a little bit of extra spare cap, whatever you want to call it, invest a little bit, but don't automatically jump to the $400 or $500 range, right? Because at the end of the day, like if you're trying to make things perfect, you're never going to get started or your starting date is going to be pushed down way down the road.
Yeah. Start ugly if you got to, you know, just hopefully not as ugly as I did with terrible audio. That's the only thing. You got this.
Yeah. No, I love it. Okay. Well, that's the audio aspect, right? So the next one is lights. What's a budget friendly light?
Yeah. What you just talked about.
you were going to go there.
Lamps that you have around your house are going to be the best budget-friendly starting point for you. And one of the things I do recommend for people when it comes to lighting is making sure that you have multiple sources of light, because when you have just one, it casts a lot of shadows on you.
Yeah.
So ideally, if you can have, let's say, two lights from two different angles hitting at you, it'll cause a better visual look for you. And it changes the quality of, again, even no matter how terrible your camera might be, you know, for the most part, it will improve it significantly.
Yeah.
You had it on your camera or your laptop camera, and just turning that light on took away the grains that you could see from the low lighting.
Yeah.
Where obviously higher quality cameras might do better in low lighting because of the features it has. So just kind of something to really consider is you could just use lamps to get started. Like I think I did that too. I use lamps, and you know, depending on what kind of lamps you have, you might be able to put like sheets over them to help with it not being too bright on you.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to get started.
And what's funny is I didn't even think about this because you're talking about different lighting, right? Well, where my office is set up, one of the lightings is the natural lighting outside. It's I open up my blinds and then I turned on that camera, and that lamp, so to speak, is what my wife uses to do her nails. Like it's that, you know, nail light. And I didn't even think about it before, but it just helps me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
And natural lighting works great. The only caveat to that would be, you know, be cautious with like cloudy days, because like if you're in the middle of recording and then you're mainly using sunlight as a resource, you know, and it casts a lot of shadow, like you're going to see that shift in lighting. Now, if you use sunlight plus lamps, like that'll be a much better avenue to take, but again, work with what you got. Lighting is not as important as audio, but this is that next level as far as importance.
Okay.
So then we go to the middle of the road. So middle of the road is usually around like $100, okay. And they're usually box lightings. They're kind of a little bulky at times. I had those as well. They're kind of big and they take up a lot of space, and then they aim a lot of light at you. And sometimes they can create a little bit of heat. Living in Arizona and like doing that in the middle of the summer was pretty brutal when I was getting started, because that was where I was at the time. And then from there, you can go to the pro levels where you're getting more like LED style type of lights, which is actually what we currently use. I'm actually looking at them right now. And these are ones that typically go for, I would say, about like 250 plus. Now, this one came in a pair, and so I can angle them. I can actually change the Kelvins on them, which means I can have it look like a bright white, or I can have it look like a soft yellow.
More natural or more.
Whatever form I want to, like I have those options. And then I also have lighting behind us as well, too. They have what they call hair lights. So if you want to like kind of separate yourself from the background, you would have a light coming from the back of to the back of your head to kind of help separate you as well. So there are additional ways to improve your lighting. And, you know, if we had a third or fourth source, as long as it's not casting the shadows, because that's what you really want to avoid, is the shadows.
Okay.
And then obviously getting enough light to the camera to improve that quality overall without having to necessarily improve the camera first and foremost.
I love it. Well, and just to reiterate, Dennis, you've been doing this for about 6.5 years. This is where you're at. Now you have a pro level camera. You have a pro level microphone, right? For audio. Doesn't mean everybody else needs to be there, right? Understand where you're at and not comparing yourself of where somebody like yourself is 6.5 years down the road.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's that, again, that diminishing return, right? Like if you're somebody who's like, well, let me just get the most expensive lights because, you know, might as well get them started now. The return on investment is not as great as just going with $100 lights and then using that difference of, you know, the funds to invest in other aspects of the business that can help you grow faster.
Correct.
and have more impact for you. So just things to consider when you're looking at all this from a larger standpoint.
Well. Okay. No, I love it. All right. That leads us into what's number three.
Yeah. Cameras. So camera is obviously an important aspect when it comes to video, but it's the third most important.
Yeah.
And as far as budget friendly, work with what you got first and foremost.
Yeah.
And like I had a couple year old camera when I got started, and now I'm, you know, sitting here with a much nicer camera.
Yeah, it looks great.
And phones nowadays are just so powerful, especially like I know the iPhone 15 Pro Max, I think, does like crazy skills when it comes to like
being recorded.
And so like if you have a nice phone camera, like, you know, I would say get started with that if you can. There's also means to be able to do screen recording if you don't want to be even showing your face. There's a lot of different ways you can record what's on your screen without even having to be a face on the camera.
Yeah.
You can consider that as well too. So now if you're wanting to do more middle of the road, you're typically looking about like, I would say $400 to $600 actually with a middle of the road camera, because then you also have to pay, and people don't know this, for a higher quality lens. Mm-hmm. The camera itself is not as valuable sometimes as like the lenses.
Yeah.
Like I know for the camera that we have right now, I wouldn't even say it's pro level. I think it's still considered middle of the road, to be honest, because I think the camera itself was like $600, and then the lens was another $600.
Wow.
The lens cost just as much as like the framing of the camera. But because I wanted the best lens I could at the time, that's, you know, that came with the cost. But I think with what I had early on, you know, that was a camera I already had in my wheelhouse, so I just used that and then, you know, upgraded again as needed. And I even tested out web cameras as well too for a little bit.
Okay.
And web cameras are fine. And if you need to either buy budget friendly or middle of the road, I would do a web camera, especially if you're going to be a talking head or like sitting at a desk. Obviously, if you're going to be moving around a lot, there are going to be other cameras that kind of gear towards that. And that's great. There's like Sony has a lot of cameras that you can like move around with for more movement. But when we're looking at more stationary, a web camera can work just as fine too.
That, and just a little reminder, a quick tip of something you learn later, is connecting it directly to your stationary computer.
Yeah. So my thing was always, how can I take the friction of actually getting started on the recording?
Yeah.
One, to not psych myself out, right? If I'm like, oh man, I gotta like put my equipment back together. So what I figured out was with my camera, the middle of the road one that I'm using, I have it where I actually have it connected directly from my camera to my computer and actually record directly in my computer. So this is actually like some side fun information, and we can talk more about it later. And then not only do I have it directly to my camera, or sorry, to my computer, I record it directly onto my computer.
Yep.
So I don't even have to go get a memory card out.
Nope.
which is such a time saver. Oh my gosh, it's insane. And probably my favorite, this is part of the unique needs section, but I'm just going to jump it in now because it was just more honorable mentions, which was the cable to the Kinect. Yeah. And the plug-in battery was like the most incredible. I think it was like $30 for me. Was the most incredible $30 I've ever spent in my entire life. And the reason for it is if you have regular camera that's not a phone or whatever, your battery, if you're going to put in a battery, it usually can last a couple hours. Sometimes your cameras will like limit you on how long you can record for. Correct. So it doesn't overheat. We have it where it's plugged into a wall. Like there's like a fake battery in there. We plug it in and then plug that part into the wall. And then it's just,
yeah, you don't need it.
It just goes like nonstop. Like I can record for hours if I really wanted to. Yeah. And so I take the friction out of needing to change out the batteries, which I remember like sometimes I'd be freaked out if I didn't charge the batteries because I'm like, crap, now I gotta sit here and freaking wait for this to charge. And then the memory cards, I had to make sure I delete or remove the old files so I can have enough space. Like all of that gets taken away.
That, and it also saves you the hassle of running out of storage while recording, right? Yeah. Battery dying while recording, right? I don't know how many, I mean, this shows my age, but like when people would take pictures and be like, oh, battery's low, like replace battery, those pictures didn't take. It's like, yeah, so you found a way to incorporate that so it doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like, again, taking that friction out. Now, we also have a space, and even in my old house too, I did it where I moved my desk and everything where my lights and my camera don't get taken down.
Yeah.
Like they stay in a spot. So that way I don't have to lug them in and out. And I know that's not possible for everybody.
Yeah.
So I want to be respectful of that part. But if you have the means to move your office around or your area around where you wouldn't necessarily have to take these things down all the time, what you're doing is creating less friction to get started on recording an episode of your videos. And I think it's just a beautiful way to kind of go about it as well too. So, and we'll talk more in the future about this and maybe even have a more specific episode talking all about those details of taking away that friction. Cause it is so important to not psych yourself out by having to do all the tedious tasks to get started on an episode.
Yeah. And I love it. I'm sorry. That was a side note, but let's get back to it. Yeah. No, it was great. Okay. You didn't mention the pro level cameras cost.
Yeah. So the pro level camera cost is, I would say, closer to like $2,000+. And that's like, you know, the camera and then the lenses as well too. And like, again, it's diminishing returns to some degree. I'm still using a middle of the road camera for myself. And I think it does so well, especially because I went high end on the lighting and the lens. And so like, so to me, I'm like, I'm very content with it. And so I think, if you really wanted to go all out, there's ways you could spend money.
That, and also, I think it also plays in with your niche, right? If you need higher quality camera because you're recording, you're doing a box opening reveal or what, you know what I mean? That might look a little bit different.
Yeah.
But again, that's why there's tiers.
Yeah. And then when we get to the fourth level of importance, it's going to be the tripods.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing to say is the budget friendly is just use books or boxes. Like straight up, come on.
Yeah.
Like I think it's imperative to use what you got around you first and foremost. And it could be hard to level it out sometimes, right? Like you want to make sure you're not like at a weird angle. So you're like looking like you're tilted or something like that. A lot of cameras have like a measure thing in place sometimes nowadays. And if you don't have that, you know, get a leveler and just make sure you're looking
flat.
Straight on that. Yeah. Of course. Now, middle of the road, you're looking around like $35-$40 for like a tripod where you can put your camera on. Now you want to make sure it's compatible with your camera, which most of them will have the piece to be able to do that. Or if you're going to use your phone, to have the attachment that allows you to kind of snap your phone into place. About $35-$40. I think that's kind of what we still use. It's an Amazon basic tripod, but it's like they have two versions of it. They have like a super basic and then they have like a basic plus. And we just went with the higher end one, but that was still like $40-$50 at the most. Yeah. And then the pro level, you're looking really close to like $80. And more, and those are going to typically have additional functionality, sometimes include like some kind of like gimbal style thing where it's like, it's not going to, if you move the camera or the stand a little bit, it's not going to like
shift
it so much and everything. And one thing I did forget to mention with the middle of the road and the pro level, a lot of them will have levelers in there so you can see if you're like flat based off of the levelers as well too.
And I guess one question for you is, for the ones that end up doing tripod and getting the camera set up, would you suggest having it level directly facing you, having it a little bit above and aiming down? Is there any comment you have?
Yeah, I mean, I would say if you're going to do talking head, which is, you know, what a lot of people do when it comes to evergreen content, for the most part, it usually like from your bust up. So like kind of like as long as you can see your chest and then kind of go up to a little bit above your head. Okay. So kind of being a pretty close in, the further you could be away from your background with your tripod too is also helpful. Okay. Just so you can give yourself a little bit of distance. But I think kind of whatever works for you, but then also pay attention to your comments and, you know, really, really focus in on if you want to continue to improve, you know, just do a little bit of that work when it comes to it to see what works best long-term.
Love it. Okay. And now we go into what?
Well, we were going to do that, the unique needs, but we kind of already mentioned that with the honorable mentions of the cable to plug into the computer and then the rechargeable battery. But that was included with that.
Yeah.
With a camera talk. And then just in case you like need like a gimbal again, which is like if you're traveling around or like over the top on your desk, those are like extra little things here and there that you can utilize. I would just, again, be very cautious with overdoing it if you haven't really seen the effects. Like I remember for a little bit, I was like, let me get a gimbal, let me get this, let me get that. And some of that didn't really pan out.
Correct.
I mean, I think I maybe overspent a little bit on equipment that wasn't really necessary. But if I give it a little bit of time to really understand, like, what am I trying to bring into the value of the content, that sometimes those special unique items will benefit it long-term.
Well, that, and when we're talking about equipment, right? Don't get it till you need it, right? Don't just go all out because like, oh, that sounds good or that looks good. Or
yeah, use the boxes, use the lamps, use the camera phone, you know, use what you got, except for the audio, use the lapel mic.
Yeah.
at minimum, but do what you need.
Bare minimum.
Yeah, do what you need on those fronts. So those are like the physical equipment. But then of course we do have some software essentials we want to talk about too, because there are some things that I think are pretty essential when it comes to going through the process of running a YouTube channel.
Okay. Well, is there anything free software?
Yeah. So the first thing we actually want to talk about, and this is really imperative, YouTube has an app that is for the creators. Okay. So it's called YouTube Studio, and it's not where you like go watch YouTube videos like the regular app. This is strictly for the content creators, where you can see your stats, you can see your comments, you can see a lot of different information directly on your phone, very similar to what you would see on your desktop. And it is completely free.
Okay.
And it's just like the most necessary thing you can have when it comes to creating content. One, you can keep track of like all your information, but then you can comment to people. And that's so important, because we talked about that already too today, which is you want to be up to date with like connecting with your community, especially early on when you're not getting that many comments yet. Reply back to every single one. We actually are at a point where we can't comment back to every single comment on the main channel because there's so many, while knowing that like when I first started, I messaged every single person every single time that I could until I could not physically do that anymore. And the YouTube Studio app helped me do that as well.
Nice. Okay.
Now there's editing.
Okay.
So editing, there's a couple different things you could do. If you want to go a little bit, there's some free options. I'm not too familiar with them, to be honest. I just went kind of right off the bat with Adobe Premiere, which is a very popular software editing tool to be able to edit your videos. And so that's, I believe, like $25 to $45 a month. Yeah. But you also get access to Photoshop, which is being able to design your thumbnails with also being able to edit your video. So you kind of get everything in one to that capacity. There is a big learning curve to it as well. So something to keep in mind for people, that if you have a little bit of time freedom, right, you can spend time learning and educating. If you don't have a lot of time freedom, but you have some funds to be able to outsource, video editing is the first thing I always tell people. Outsource that if you possibly can. We have some members in our academy that utilize companies. One of them is called editvideo.io. It's in our ebook, I believe, as well too, where you can go through and have somebody else do the editing process for you. So you're saving not only the time of learning, but the time of actually going through and editing the videos. And so that allows you to create more content, which then allows you to long-term generate more passive income for as well too. So if you have the funds to do it early, I would probably cut that out as quickly as possible so you can save that time.
Okay. And that helps with the editing part. And I know the outsourcing the video is a big part. Yeah. I mean, even the gentleman in the academy is like, man, if I couldn't outsource this, I don't think I'd be doing this.
Yeah, because it is probably the biggest time take when it comes to the whole process, which then leads us to the design, which is usually like thumbnails or, you know, things that are in your video. So Adobe, back to that again, does have Photoshop, which if you do their Adobe Creative Cloud, which is like the monthly subscription, that includes the Premiere Pro for the video editing and then Photoshop for the art design And so those things kind of combined all into one. I think if you're a student, you get a discount for that. Okay. Then there's another website called canva.com. I absolutely love
Canva. Oh my gosh.
We love Canva. Canva's really inexpensive and you get so much value and so many great templates, great graphics that you can utilize. I think it's actually better than Photoshop for beginner users because I think
it's
very user friendly. And then the company that we were talking about that does outsourcing for video also includes in their cost a thumbnail with your video. So it's kind of like all encompassing. Nice. So if you don't even want to do thumbnails, which is a really important part of your YouTube focus, they'll do it for you as well too.
Okay. Now, and again, I just got into Canva because my wife, and oh my gosh, I can't go back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, last thing when it comes to the software side of things is for SEO work. And we've talked about SEO here in the last couple episodes as well too. So yes. SEO stands for search engine optimization. And this allows us to really target people for the things that we want to be talking about so we can serve them the best.
Yes.
And you could do a lot of it for free just by like happenstance on being on YouTube or even on Google by typing things into the search bar. There's a software called TubeBuddy, which is an extension on your browser, whether you're using Chrome or things like Firefox, to be able to have additional information to break down those keywords that you want to target for your audience. Yeah. And what this really means, just like, if some of the jargon I just said sounded kind of mushy, what it really means is it helps you identify closer and closer to what it is the audience member is really looking for.
Yep.
And the more closer you can get to what the audience is looking for, the better you can serve them.
Yeah.
And the better you serve them, the easier it is for YouTube to find that person and hand them that video. And they watch it, learn, connect with you, buy your products, sign up for your affiliate program, stuff that we talked about in previous episode, and just be able to continue to generate income and continue to generate impact as well too.
That, and I'll quickly add again, when somebody's searching on YouTube, it's typically to get the answer to something, yeah, right? And what that's doing, that SEO using the TubeBuddy extension, is providing you those questions, right? Mm-hmm. So that way you could provide the answer.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a very helpful tool, and I couldn't imagine not using it at this point, especially knowing what I know.
Yeah.
Long term. Now those are really important equipment and software essentials for beginner YouTubers. And there's also two things I really want to add in as like honorable mentions as well. And this is for like the business side, because when you're creating passive income for YouTube, you're a business.
Yeah.
You're making money. And when it comes to making money, we want to make sure that we have things organized properly. And so we always, always, always recommend that you have a business account for your YouTube income, whether it's through affiliates, sponsors, ad revenue, all of these things. And when it comes to expenses for your business, like any of the equipment or software, if you were going to pay for them, to come out of a business account. So correct. We have a bank that we love and use and recommend all the time called Novo Bank.
It's also free.
Yes. Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that, because it is definitely free and we love it. And even if you have the ability to pay for, you know, a bank account, the offers that they have are just incredible with invoicing and a card, and just like the app itself, it just runs so smoothly. You and I both actually have it for our own businesses. I have it for multiple businesses, actually.
Correct.
When it comes to using Novo. So highly recommend them. I'll have the link for you guys in the show notes and in our ebook. I believe it's also in there.
Yeah.
And then alongside, you know, having a bank account, we also want to keep track with like bookkeeping and accounting. So we actually do recommend Wave, which is a free accounting software, very similar to like QuickBooks, but doesn't cost you anything and it gives all the basics. Everything you need is honestly there for you. And we love using it, and it helps keep track of everything so we can see our profit and loss statements for the business. And then we can hand all that information over to a tax accountant come tax time. And my golly, is it so much easier to not have to have our personal and business stuff intertwined. So it's a really important aspect to have, especially if we're going to be spending money on this equipment and also generating income from the YouTube channel to have these additional services.
Correct. It's very important to keep things separate, and might as well start keeping it separate at the beginning.
At the beginning, yeah. And it's a huge, huge part of that as well too. So when you're going through this and you're looking at your equipment, just remember the level of importance when it comes to the actual physical stuff. It's audio, then lights, then camera, then tripod, and then any other
unique
needs for your business. And then you also got all the extra software we talked about today, and then some of the business stuff that can go alongside it as an additional value add to make sure that you're running the business great, so you can continue to create passive income on the platform and, you know, reap the rewards of having freedom in your time, money, and work.
Yeah. And for those who stuck through this episode of, you know, I think we're approaching 50 minutes talking about just the equipment and the software, kudos to you, because it's super important. but also it could be just, do we really need to talk about this? Yes. The short answer is yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lot of info to take in. And I think just being in here and learning and growing, you're doing the Kaizen method. Yeah. You're learning one piece at a time, 1% at a time, and you're growing. And you might not have everything down day one, but as you keep growing and keep listening to these episodes and going through this process, you're going to see incremental and big impact down the road. You're planting your roots so later you can bear your fruit. Thank you so much for listening.
Have a good one.
Thank you again for listening to the YouTube Passive Income Show, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Now, in this episode, we talked a lot about some resources, which we'll have linked up in the show notes down below for you, including our 7 days to uploading your first YouTube video, which is going to be a checklist that's entirely free for you to utilize. Again, in the show notes down below. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you next week.